Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 984, Fascism, 2017 European Tour. This is being recorded on November 14th of the year 2017. This program heavily overlaps and indeed in considerable measure is a development of and further exploration of points of information and articles that we looked at in For the Record 983. Several upcoming programs will also develop some of those points of information at greater length and in greater detail. Long story made short, fascism is coming to the fore and, in my opinion, will ultimately triumph with an underground Reich come above ground, albeit in somewhat disguised fashion, ruling a fascist future. That will not sound particularly optimistic to many people. I can't say as I'm crazy about the idea, but the older one gets, the less concerned I am with what I would quote like unquote, and the more concerned I am with doing my job well, with performing my analysis skillfully, and that is what I believe will happen. I think maybe at the most 300 years from now, Hitler's birthday will be an international holiday. I think much of the human race will have been disposed of either by environmental factors, often enhanced by existing technology, or through deliberate extermination programs. But I believe that ultimately, the future will belong to what I call the underground Reich, and at an economic level, it will be determined by the remarkable and altogether deadly Bormann organization about which I speak so often. That is detailed in the book Martin Bormann, Nazi in Exile, which is available for download for free on the SpitfireList.com website. In For the Record 305, there is a condensation of that program. Turning to Europe, once again, note that the Axis, in addition to Germany, Italy, and Japan, also involved Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, the Baltic states for a time, and most of the Balkans as well. Those Eastern European Axis nations, Romania, Hungary, Bulgaria, the Baltic states and the Balkans ultimately became key elements of the Reinhard Gehlen spy outfit, which was incorporated in the CIA, morphed into the NATO Intelligence Organization, and ultimately the BND, the German Intelligence Service, which it is to this day. In Bulgaria, further developing what we looked at last week, part of the coalition Bulgarian government under Boyko, B-O-I-K-O, Borisov, B-O-R-I-S-O-V, is indeed manifesting the fascism of the Bulgarian National Front of World War II. From GermanForeignPolicy.com, which feeds along the lower right-hand side of the SpitfireList.com website. And by the way, you can subscribe to the RSS feeds from German Foreign Policy of October 9th of 2017. Bulgaria's European course, we read not only about the Borisov coalition government, but it's networking with the Konrad Adenauer Foundation, which in turn is affiliated with the CDU in Germany. The point being, or one of the major points being, that Bulgaria is about to assume the EU Council presidency. And hearing what the current Bulgarian coalition government is manifesting, I think, should give one pause to ponder. From German Foreign Policy of October 9th, Sofia's coalition government, headed by a partner party of the KAS, the Konrad Adenauer Foundation, includes a party whose chairperson once wrote that, quote, a gang of Jews had ruined orthodoxy, unquote. The chair of another party in the Bulgarian government coalition called Roma, quote, human-like creatures that had become beasts, unquote. He is the current deputy prime minister. Roma, by the way, sometimes popularly referred to as gypsies, although gypsies also involve the Sinti group. Again, the chair of another party in the Bulgarian government coalition called Roma, quote, human-like creatures that have become beasts, unquote. The Roma were among the focal points of Nazi extermination programs in World War II, along with Jews, gays, communists, trade unionists, and others. Continuing. That cabinet member is the current deputy prime minister of Bulgaria. The Bulgarian defense minister would like to dispatch highly specialized combat troops to the Bulgarian-Turkish border and, quote, defend, unquote, the EU's external borders against refugees with armed force, unquote. January 1st, 2018, the Bulgarian government will assume the EU Council presidency. Hardly prepared for this task, the KAS is counseling the government. Again, that's the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung or Konrad Adenauer Foundation. Hans-Gert Pottering, Pottering, former president of the European Parliament, praised Bulgaria's contribution to the, quote, fight against illegal migration, unquote. Noting similarities to the Trump administration here, I think is easy to do and important. Skipping down in the article. The party of the Bulgarian Prime Minister Boyko Borisov, B-O-Y-K-O-B-O-R-I-S-O-V, the GERB, or Citizens for European Development of Bulgaria, unquote, is a member of the Conservative European People's Party, or EPP, in which the German Conservative Party's CDU-CSU hold a strong position. The CDU, the Christian Democratic Union, by the way, and the CSU, the more conservative right-wing Bavarian wing of that party, are dominant in the current German coalition of Angela Merkel. Skipping down, of the nature of and the formation of the Bulgarian coalition government of Boyko Borisov, which again will become head of the EU Council. Following the recent March 26th parliamentary elections, Borisov, the winner of the elections, his GERB with 32.7%, did not begin negotiations for a government coalition with the Bulgarian Socialist Party that got 27.2% of the vote, or with the Movement for Rights and Freedoms, which got 9%, representing the Turkish-speaking minority in Bulgaria, but rather with the United Patriots, which got 9.1%. The United Patriots is an alliance of three extreme right-wing parties. The coalition negotiations were carried out under the motto, Bulgaria is above everything else, unquote. One might almost see that as, let's make Bulgaria great again. One more time. The coalition negotiations were carried out under the motto, Bulgaria above everything else, unquote, and was ultimately crowned with success. Volin Sidorov, S-I-D-E-R-O-V, the head of one of the three parties, the Ataka Party, forming the United Patriots, once called the Roma minority or gypsies, called on the Roma minority or gypsies to, quote, behave themselves, unquote, if they did not want to be deported to India. In a book, Sidorov wrote that, quote, a gang of Jews have, quote, ruined the orthodoxy, unquote. Valery Vallery, Simeonov, S-I-M-E-O-N-O-V, chair of a second party in the United Patriots, the National Front for the Salvation of Bulgaria, or NFSB, referred to Roma as, quote, human-like creatures who have become beasts, unquote, and said that their children were, quote, playing in the streets with pigs, unquote. Since May 4th, Simeonov has been in office as the vice prime minister in charge of the economy and demography, as well as being Bulgaria's commissioner for integration. Twice, photographs have already emerged showing high-ranking officials of Bulgaria's government elected to office in May in poses honoring the Nazis. May 17th, Pavel Pavel Tenev, T-E-N-E-V, the Minister of Regional Development at the time, was forced to resign after publication of a photo showing him with his right arm extended in a Nazi salute, standing in front of a wax figure of a Nazi officer in Paris's Musée Grévin. On May 19th, another photo was published on the internet showing the freshly appointed department director in the Ministry of Defense, Ivo Ivo Antonov, A-N-T-O-N-O-V, also giving the Nazi salute in front of a Second World War tank of the Wehrmacht. And that picture is in the written description for this show. Antonov's most senior employer, Defense Minister Krasimir Karakachanov, K-A-R-I-K-A-C-H-A-N-O-V, chair of the IMRO, Bulgarian National Movement, refused to fire Antonov for giving the Nazi salute. So again, the current coalition government of Boyko Borisov was not formed with the two largest vote-getters in the parliamentary election. Bulgaria, like other European countries, uses a parliamentary system. He did not form a coalition either with the Bulgarian Socialist Party or the Movement for Rights and Freedoms, but rather with the United Patriots, which got 9.1%, as opposed to the Socialist Party, which got 27%. And in addition to the Nazi salutes in front of tanks or a statue, a wax statue or figure of a Nazi officer, people in that coalition have repeated long-standing fascist and Nazi bigoted positions against Roma, and against the Roma were among the targets of Nazi ethnic cleansing and extermination in the Second World War. Also note again that the turmoil is a bad term, the ongoing warfare and butchery in Syria, among other places, is creating a tidal wave of refugees liberally infiltrated by Islamic State and other Muslim Brotherhood-derived Islamic fascists who are playing right into the traditional anti immigrant-slash-anti-Muslim stance of reactionaries in Europe, Bulgaria, in this case. And note that instead of building a wall, as Trump is proposing to do between the U.S. and Mexico, there is the proposal to send highly trained combat troops to the border with Turkey to prevent, quote, immigrants, unquote, coming across. And again, anti-immigrant sentiment is not only a common feature of reaction and burgeoning fascism in both Europe and the U.S., but traditionally, as we saw in our discussions with Peter Lavenda and his book, The Hitler Legacy, it has been a traditional ideological pillar of reaction and fascism.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. Long article-length descriptions of the For the Record programs are available at spitfirelist.com, also featuring information that wasn't in the original program due to the limitations of time.
Next, we're going to explore another article from GermanForeignPolicy.com, this from 2 days later, October 11th of 2017. And in this program, in this section of the program, I should say, we are going to be exploring at some length a concept that might appear to be alien to most people's understanding. We're going to be taking a look at the move by Catalonia, the most economically successful and prosperous province in Spain, to secede from Spain. And beyond that, we're going to be looking at a movement to have some of the most prosperous regions in Europe secede from the nation states in which they are currently incorporated. This can be seen as, at one level, a subsidiary element of globalization, and also at the same time, and part and parcel to that, as something of a laissez-faire and anarcho-capitalist libertarian approach to economics, in which freed from government oversight, or from federal government oversight, certain prosperous regions were to be governed basically by dominant corporate interests according to the will of those corporate interests. In turn, we are going to see in our next the next article that we are examining, how Edward Snowden and Julian Assange, both exponents of laissez-faire or neoliberal economics, really of sort of libertarian anarcho-capitalism, are supportive not only of Catalonia, but of secession in general. The neo-Confederate movement is something to which Ron Paul, a favorite of both Julian Assange and Edward Snowden, is wedded. And again, we look at the very close links between Snowden and the Ron Paul machine in programs past. Snowden was a contributor to Ron Paul's presidential campaign in 2012 and the chief legal counsel for Ron Paul's 2012 campaign, Bruce Fein, was the first of Edward Snowden's attorneys and also the attorney for the Snowden family and Snowden's father, Ron Snowden. The history of regionalism is something that, again, is at one with what, for lack of a better term, could be called economic imperialism. In this case, talking about Europe, Germany, and we will be looking at some of the history of regionalism and the regionalist movement or ideology in Europe. It had as one of its major champions Wolfgang Schäuble, the former German finance minister, and also arguably the most effective and vehement advocate of austerity in the EU and EMU. And the Association of European Border Regions, or AEBR, that he chaired in the early 1980s, was an exponent of regionalism, and in turn, it represented the carrying forward of Nazi Nazi economic and geopolitical ideology as formulated by some figures we will hear about, including Hermann Abs, the former chairman of Deutsche Bank and the most important Third Reich banker before, during, and after World War II. From German Foreign Policy of October 11th of 2017, "The Power in the Center" reads as follows. Using the secessionist conflict in Catalonia as a backdrop, the website of the German weekly Die Zeit, D-I-E, capital Z-E-I-T, published a fiery appeal for dismembering Europe's nation states. For quite some time, the author, Ulrike Guerot, U-L-R-I-K-E-G-U-E-R-O-T, has been promoting, quote, the disappearance of the nation state in Europe. The nation state should be replaced by regions with their, quote, own respective identities, unquote, that could be, quote, ethnically, unquote, defined. As examples, Guerot lists regions with strong separatist tendencies such as Flanders, part of Belgium, and Tyrol, part of northern Italy. The author sees herself upholding the tradition of the, quote, European federalists, unquote, of the early post-World War II period who, under the guidance of Western intelligence services, the CIA in particular, drew up plans for establishing a European economic space with free circulation of commodities as a bulwark against the Eastern European socialist countries. Wolfgang Schäuble, as president of the Association of European Border Regions, or AEBR, in the early 1980s, was also promoting regionalist plans. Inspired by former Nazi functionaries, the AEBR, or Association of European Border Regions, criticized the, quote, nation-states barrier effect, unquote, of borders in the interests of large corporations. And again, this may be seen in the context of globalization, in this case, globalization of Europe. Repeating these last couple of sentences again for analytical emphasis. Wolfgang Schäuble, as president of the Association of European Border Regions, or AEBR, in the early 1980s, was also promoting regionalist plans. Inspired by former Nazi functionaries, the AEBR criticized the nation-states barrier effect of borders in the interests of large corporations. Current economic maps indicate which areas in the EU would form the continent's most powerful bloc if regionalization should take effect. South and Central Germany, as well as its bordering regions from Flanders to northern Italy. Yesterday, the website of the German weekly Die Zeit published a fiery appeal to dismember Europe's nation states authored by the political scientist Ulrike Guerot. Guerot had been employed by CDU parliamentarian Karl Lamers, L-A-M-E-R-S, in the first half of the 1990s and participated in formulating the Schäuble-Lamers paper, propagating the establishment of a core Europe. She subsequently became collaborator for the EU Commission president at the time, Jacques Delors, D-E-L-O-R-S, and an expert of several think tanks, the German Council on Foreign Relations, the German Marshall Fund, and the European Council on Foreign Relations. In 2014, she founded a European Democracy Lab at the European School of Governance. Once a member of the CDU, today she is politically close to the Greens. For some time, Guéraud has been peddling an allegedly new political concept to the German public based on the dismemberment of Europe's nation-states. According to her, the nation-state will disappear, unquote, and will be replaced by 50 to 60 regions in Europe, quote, with their own respective identity, unquote. She is referring to the concept of, quote, ethnic regions, unquote, i.e., an ethnically defined community of shared origins. As Guéraud writes, quote, ethnic region and statehood are not congruent, for example, in Ireland or Cyprus, Flanders, Venetia, and Tyrol are further examples. In Flanders and Venetia, respectively more prosperous regions, defining themselves linguistic, ethnic, Nederlander, or Venetian, are dissociating themselves from poorer regions of the country, whereas the German-speaking construct Tyrole, T-Y-R-O-L-E, encompasses areas of Austria and northern Italy. According to Guéraud, Catalonia is also one of the regions to be liberated from its constraints under the nation-state. The Catalan movement currently pushing for secession is, in fact, largely defining itself ethnically. The autonomous movement has been closely cooperating with French citizens who live outside the Spanish region of Catalonia, but also consider themselves ethnic Catalans, unquote. At their rallies, one can hear, neither France nor Spain, only one country, Catalonia, unquote. Last weekend, the spokesperson of the left CUP party in Spanish Catalonia complained that Spaniards from outside Catalonia had come to Barcelona to participate in a demonstration, to demonstrate in Catalonia as a, quote, Spaniard, unquote, corresponds to a, quote, colonial logic, unquote. According to Guéraud, only a European republic, unquote, wherein, again quoting, the regions assume the role of the central constitutional actors, unquote, can save an EU shaken by national conflicts. For example, the regions should constitute a second chamber in the European Parliament, a European Senate, parenthetically, the German austerity, German-driven and mandated austerity doctrine has produced burgeoning hardship in a number of European countries, mostly in southern Europe, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, Spain, and Greece. And this regionalization is proposed here by Ulrika Guéraud. Again, the regions assume the role of the central according to Guéraud, only a European republic wherein the regions assume the role of the central constitutional actors can save an EU shaken by national conflicts. For example, the regions should constitute a second chamber in the European Parliament, a European Senate. Guerreau has repeatedly said that political competence must be redistributed between the EU and its regions. According to this concept, a center of power will be set up in Brussels in control of foreign and military policy, while the regions, for example, in charge of commercial taxes, would financially maintain independent latitude. Of course, the latter would depend on the economic power of the respective region. Besides its ethnic constitution, a Europe of the regions, unquote, would lead to a complete disenfranchisement of its smallest units. Guerreau criticizes the fact that, quote, the EU is full of large regions, such as North Rhine-Westphalia, which are not permitted to participate in EU decision-making, while on the other hand, small countries such as Luxembourg or Malta are, unquote. That must change. For example, rather than having one vote out of 28 in the European Council, and Bulgaria is to get the presidency of the rotating presidency of the European Council, Malta, beginning again, for example, rather than having one vote out of 28 in the European Council, Malta would have only one out of 50 or 60 votes in the European Senate. It would not be able to counter any measures proposed by the EU's economically predominating centers. Guerreau's concept has precursors which have been promoted on the one hand by intelligence agency circles of the post-World War II period and by interested business circles on the other, serving, however, entirely different interests under cover of promoting an alleged regional democracy. Guerreau says herself that her model is based on the European Federalists, particularly the Swiss Denis de Rougemont, that's D-E-N-I-S, de Rougemont, R-O-U-G-E-M-E-N-T. Since the mid-1940s, the European Federalists sought to found a United States of Europe as a unified economic realm, serving as a bulwark against the socialist countries in the process of forming. It was also seen as a defense against the idea of abandoning the previous economic approach, which, at the time, was also rather popular in Western Europe. This is why the Federalists had initially been supported and controlled by the CIA predecessor, the Office of Strategic Services, and one of its top spies, Alan Dulles, residing in Bern, and later by the CIA itself. Denis de Rougemont, an OSS affiliate and professed Federalist, complained in a 1948 message to the Europeans, unquote, that, quote, Europe, unquote, was barricaded behind borders, impeding the circulation of its commodities, unquote, and because of this, is threatened with economic ruin. On the other hand, united, unquote, it could already, quote, tomorrow build the greatest political entity and the largest economic unit of our times, unquote. From 1952 to 1966, Rougemont continued his activities also as president of the CIA-financed Congress for Cultural Freedom. Wolfgang Schäuble has also promoted regionalist concepts. Guerreau had been in contact with him in 1994 during work on the Schäuble Lommer's paper. In 1979, Schäuble became president of the Association of European Border Regions, or AEBR, an organization with the objective of downgrading the significance of borders in Europe. Note the next sentence. Business interests played an important role, which is why the AEBR could find reliable supporters in industry. A European Charter on Border and Cross-Border Regions, passed by the AEBR in 1981, stipulated that the, quote, elimination of economic and infrastructural barriers, unquote, must urgently be pursued. For example, the, quote, expansion and construction of coordinated, combined, cross-border freight transport terminals, unquote, is necessary to, quote, close current gaps in cross-border traffic, unquote. In addition, the expansion of cross-border energy networks must be promoted. This is being overblown with allegations of Europe having emerged from a, quote, patchwork of historical landscapes, unquote, with borders creating scars, unquote, on Europe's regions and leading to the population's loss of identity, unquote. The current nation-states barrier effect must be reduced, if not abolished, according to the paper drawn up under Schäuble's AEBR presidency. Again, note how this regionalism essentially is a form of globalization as applied to specifically Europe in this case. And these regions would be dominated, of course, by the dominant economic power in Europe, which is Germany. The antecedents of the Schäuble-headed AEBR. Former Nazi functionaries were actively participating both on the AEBR's committees and in the immediate entourage of its planning of the regionalization, unquote, of the border regions, including Gerd, G-E-R-D, Jans, J-A-N-S, a former member of the Waffen-SS in the Netherlands, Konrad Meyer, responsible for the Nazis' Generalplan Ost, again, their plan for Nazi colonization of Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union, Hermann Josef Abs of the Deutsche Bank, as well as Alfred Topfer, T-O-E-P-F-E-R, described by the publicist Hans Rüdiger Minow, M-I-N-O-W, as, quote, infamous for his border subversion of France's Alsace. In an extensive study, Minow describes the continuities of the Nazi concepts. Gero ultimately argues in favor of her regionalization concepts using the allegation that through the removal of nation states, quote, Germany's supremacy can be overcome. The opposite is in fact the case. Economic maps by the EU's Eurostat Statistics Administration show the regions where Europe's wealth and therefore Europe's economic power is concentrated, a bloc with its centers in southern and central Germany to the west, in Flanders, and spreading to segments of the Netherlands and to the south, to parts of Austria and northern Italy, and in various separate regions of western and northern Europe. A number of these regions maintain close relations with Germany or to the German regions themselves. this clearly German-dominated bloc would hardly have any difficulty controlling a, quote, Europe of the regions, unquote, advocated by Ulrike Gero and earlier by Wolfgang Schäuble. And the article is accompanied by some maps of these regions. Now, what I'm going to do next is to review information that we have looked at periodically about the Third Reich's plans for a unified Europa Germanica. And the book from which the following is excerpted is Germany Plots with the Kremlin, authored by T.H. Pettens. And this is available. It was published in 1953 in hardcover by Henry Schumann, and it is available for download for free on the SpitfireList.com website.
You're listening to Dave Emery's For the Record. All of Dave Emery's 36 years of work is available for download on the SpitfireList.com website. The site includes many articles not included in the programs, as well as a small library of old anti-fascist books. All of the material on the website is available for free. Sister station WFMU is podcasting the For the Record programs. To subscribe to the podcast, use the link at the top of the description for this program or on the front page.
What we are going to be looking at is an article that was authored by the journalist Dorothy Thompson in the New York Herald Tribune of May 31st, 1940. And this is reprinted by T.H. Pettens on page 92 of Germany Plots with the Kremlin. And Dorothy Thompson wrote, and again, compare this with the Europe of regions promoted variously by Ulrike Gero, by Wolfgang Schäuble and the AEBR, also by various Nazi functionaries in the AEBR, including Hermann Abs of the Deutsche Bank, about whom we've spoken so many times for decades. And Dorothy Thompson writes as follows in the New York Herald Tribune. Now, again, compare this to the Europe of regions that is being proposed. And we're going to come back to the whole concept of secession and libertarian slash corporatist economic theory and Eddie Snowden and Julian Assange, both exponents of that, in just a minute. But first, from Dorothy Thompson's letter or article in the New York Herald Tribune, again, May 31st of 1940. The Germans have a clear plan of what they intend to do in case of victory. I believe that I know the essential details of that plan. I have heard it from a sufficient number of important Germans to credit its authenticity. Germany's plan is to make a customs union of Europe with complete financial and economic control centered in Berlin. This will create at once the largest free trade area and the largest planned economy in the world. In Western Europe alone, there will be an economic unity of 400 million persons. To these will be added the resources of the British, French, Dutch, and Belgian empires. These will be pooled in the name of Europa Germanica. The Germans count upon political power following economic power and not vice versa. Territorial changes do not concern them because there will be no France or England except as language groups. Little immediate concern is felt regarding political organizations. No nation will have the control of its own financial or economic system, or of its customs. The Nazification of all countries will be accomplished by economic pressure. In all countries, contacts have been established long ago with sympathetic businessmen and industrialists. As far as the United States is concerned, the planners of the World Germanica laugh off the idea of any armed invasion. They say it will be completely unnecessary to take military action against the United States to force it to play ball with this system. Here, as in every other country, they have established relations with numerous industries and commercial organizations to whom they will offer advantages in cooperation with Germany. And again, at one level, the European Monetary Union and the, quote, borderless, unquote, EU, and in the proposed refinement of that in the wake of bitter anti-German sentiment and strife, particularly in some of the southern European countries after the collapse of 2008, and the Wolfgang Schäuble championed austerity in Europe. Take a look at that. Now, again, looking at the Europe of regions as an application of globalization to Europe in a pan-European Europa Germanica context, we're now going to take a look at how Eddie Snowden and Julian Assange, both champions of neoliberal, libertarian / anarcho-capitalist economic theory, we're going to take a look at how that fits into this, and note again something that we looked at in For the Record 756. We talked about the links between Ron Paul and Eddie Snowden, and in turn the links between Ron Paul and the neo-Confederate movement and the Ludwig von Mises Institute. The neo-Confederate movement most recently was front and center in the demonstrations in Charlottesville. And we're going to take a look now at two of the leading champions of Catalonian secession from Spain. And we're going to particularly pick a look at how secession of regions from nation states is seen in the libertarian economic theories of people like Eddie Snowden and Julian Assange. Assange himself, an advocate of, on the one hand, the Chicago School of Economics, whose best-known exponent was the late Milton Friedman, and perhaps whose best application or best known application was in the Pinochet regime in Chile, and also the Austrian economic school of Ludwig von Mises and Friedrich von Hayek. A key advocate also, or exponent of the Hayek theoretician or theoretical school, is Pierre Omidyar of eBay fame, and a fellow who helped to bankroll not only the Maidan coup in Ukraine, but also the ascension of Narendra Modi and his BJP, Hindutva Fascist Party in India, something we will come back to before too much longer. There is an article from the Sydney Morning Herald, Sydney, Australia, from September 26th of 2017, an article by Chris Zappone, Zappone, on Catalan independence, Julian Assange and Edward Snowden emerge as surprise backers. Note the wonderful introduction. They link both Eddie Snowden and Julian Assange to Moscow. Both are, in fact, libertarian fascists, as we have seen in so many programs with links to elements like David Duke, the neo-Confederate movement of Carl Lundstrom, and many, many others. One of the things we are seeing is the scapegoating of Russia for the emergence of fascism in various places in Europe and in the U.S. under Trump. Not that fascism was not here, but it emerged into the broad light of day with people like Richard Spencer leading rallies in which people were giving a Nazi salute and shouting Heil Trump, and things like what we saw in Charlottesville. This is all now being blamed on Russia. Now, again, from the Sydney Morning Herald of September 26th of 2017, on Catalan independence, Julian Assange and Edward Snowden emerge as surprise backers. It reads in part, two Moscow-linked figures have emerged as the loudest voices on Twitter, amplifying news and commentary about Catalonia's secession referendum. Research independently confirmed by Fairfax Media shows Twitter accounts of WikiLeaks leader Julian Assange, as well as former National Security Administration contractor Edward Snowden, now account for nearly a third of all Twitter traffic under the hashtag Catalonia. Assange has peppered his followers with more than 80 original tweets supporting the Catalan independence referendum, suggesting, quote, the future of Western civilization is being revealed, unquote, by the renewed push by regional secessionists. Those tweets have been generously shared. Of the 150,279 tweets and retweets using the hashtag Catalonia in the 10 days until Sunday, more than 40,368 came from the Julian Assange account, according to one measure by social media analysis account Conspirator Norteño. A further 8,198 came from the Edward Snowden Twitter account. The surge in pro-secession messages comes as authorities in Madrid contend with a new move for independence in the autonomous region of Catalonia. Neither WikiLeaks' Julian Assange nor Edward Snowden have a deep history of involvement with Spanish politics. What I would note, however, is that both Snowden and Julian Assange are big advocates of the right to secession, skipping down. The right of self-determination for people to freely decide their own system of government cannot simply be outlawed. It is a human right, unquote, Snowden's account tweeted on September 21st. One of the things that Snowden has been touting is that the right to secede stems from natural law, and he's a big advocate of natural law. In our programs about technocratic fascism, we cited a very important article by David Golumbia, that's G-O-L-U-M-B-I-A, from uncomputing.org, who noted that arguing for a particular position under the basis of natural law is a key libertarian ideological and rhetorical bulwark, and it tracks to the far right. Now, note again that Ron Paul and the closely affiliated Ludwig von Mises Institute have close links to the neo-Confederate movement. The chief blogger for Ron Paul's 2012 campaign, a guy named Edward Hunter, was the chairman of the League of the South, the most important of the neo-Confederate movements. the League of the South believes that the South was right and believes that the South should secede again. In For the Record program 972, among others, we took a look at how libertarians view the South. Many libertarians view the South as the pre-Civil War South as the freest society on earth, a position bolstered by Ron Paul and tacitly endorsed by in a function over which he presided by Glenn Greenwald. So again, when we see things like Ron Paul, whose super PAC was capitalized by Peter Thiel, key backer of Donald Trump, an advocate of the seasteading movement, secession, in addition to being, in the case of the South, a racist doctrine, is also something that will permit a complete libertarian unleashing of unfettered capitalism, sort of anarcho-capitalism. We have had many programs in which we talked about that and how people like Friedrich von Hayek and other advocates of the Austrian school play into that. In Germany proper, there was a significant success enjoyed by the Alternative for Germany, or Alternative for Deutschland, or AfD. The Quartz, Q-U-A-R-T-Z blog of September 25th, 2017, the leader of Germany's far-right party quit hours after its election success because it is too radical. This by Jill Petzinger, and noted that a fellow named Gauland, one of the key AfD leaders, had basically said that Germany should be proud of what German soldiers had achieved in two world wars. That's an AfD leader named Alexander Gauland. And also note that in Austria, the Freedom Party is poised to become a key coalition partner in that country. Its heritage and masking described as we wind up in a Reuters article from October 10th of 2017. Austria's Freedom Party suspends member over Nazi allegations. And this is the suspension of Josef, J-O-S-E-F, Reimer, R-I-E-M-E-R, for giving a Nazi salute. And yet the Austrian Freedom Party, best known for its head, Jörg Haider, was actually formed in 1956 by Third Reich veterans as a vehicle for reintroducing Austrian Third Reich veterans into the political process. More about fascism in Europe in our next program. This, however, concludes For the Record program number 984, Fascism, 2017 European Tour. This is being recorded on November 14th of the year 2017. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.